series today because I've been digging into a book that is just dealing with me. It's always good to preach from a place of humility. You know, when God's like really reworking you, he is reworking me. It's been painful and good. So my new series is Heart Checkup. And today the part one, incline, you can write that down. We're going to be digging into Psalms 119. Our key scripture is verses 112 through 13. But I'll tell you, you want to get into the transformation, and I'm praying the Lord helps me with time management to get where I need to go, is dig through Romans. Here's my challenge to you guys. Dig into Romans this week. It will change your life. Every time I read it, it reorients my brain that I am right with Christ Jesus because of my faith in him. And my feelings are always lying to me. Because how many people know we don't feel right with God often, right? And I'll tell you, that's my prescription for the heart checkup today. Read a little bit of Romans each day and focus. The brunt of my message at the end is I'm kind of pick through Romans chapter 5-8. Don't worry, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it will change your life. And also Psalms 84, so we'll see. The incline. All right, so this is humbling. So a long time ago in a faraway place before I had children, so Zeke is 2.5, I put a lot of effort into finding gym buddies, because how many people know, if you know me, I'm not a gym person. Like, that's just like not me. I'm a read coffee and drink books person and eat really good food, like nachos at 10 o'clock at night. Because I was preaching on how to not eat nachos at 10 o'clock at night. I was like, I'm going to eat nachos at 10 o'clock at night. It's great. So I worked really hard and I put a lot of effort into getting a diverse group of gym buddies, because how many people know, people are busy. So Rachel was one of them, and Rachel was my most consistent gym buddy, and she was like life transformational to me. So I finally got in this habit by putting people in my life that would remind me, hey, we got to be healthy, let's go to the gym. I would get to the gym, and it wasn't about being there a really long time, it was the quality of time, right? And normally it was my quality time with my gym buddy. I got there about 3 to 4 days a week before the baby was born. I was 7.5 months prego, like out to here. And I was still going to the gym that amount of time. Now, mind you, I was just hitting the treadmill, right, with my gym buds. And I probably would have gone right up until birth, except, great excuses. Zeke was born the week of Christmas. Do you know how bananas your life gets? Come on, especially women. How many side dishes do we have to make, or if you're the host, from mid-November through, January 1st, okay? I got really ridiculously busy, and that was the last time I went to the gym. Math, my son is how old? 2.5. Right, okay. But when I was doing really good, I was meeting with Rachel and my favorite gym buddy, my husband, Brad Green. So Brad Green had this habit when I would just go, to the treadmill. I would pop on the treadmill, and I just kind of smile, and sometimes put on my earbuds, and, I do a lot of, teaching and scripture and sometimes, some online Bible classes. And when I wasn't looking, he would hit the incline button. You know that little thing? It's not automatic. By the way, you know, it's so funny that if the treadmill was automatically on an incline, I'd never get on it. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to walk, let alone run at a 45-degree angle. Like in place, like a hamster. No, like if I'm running at an angle, I'm saving someone's life up the top of the hill, and there better be blood when I get there, right? Don't fake me out, okay? So Brad, when I wouldn't look, he'd be like, beep, 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 beep. And I'd be like, just walking along because I'm not a runner. And all of a sudden I was like, sweat. And I was like reaching for the water. And then I'd look at him and I'd give him the side eye. I was like, beep, boop, 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 boop. And I'd turn it down. I'm not into the incline. I'm not into it. And what did he do? A great gym buddy. What are they going to do? They're going to challenge you to remember, why are we at the gym? To get healthy, right? No pain, no gain, right? You're not going to grow. And he was, oh my gosh, when it came to weights, I was like, look, I can lift it. And he's like, Sherry, it's not how many times you can lift it, because my barbells were like as big as my wrist. He'd be like, come on, you got to feel it. That's how you're growing. So Brad was always challenged me to push past my comfort level. And like I said, what was he doing when I wasn't looking? Beep, 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 hit in the incline. And what was I naturally always trying to do? Boop, 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 hit the decline. Okay. So if you remember one thing, we're talking about what? Incline today. So here's my key point. The treadmill does not automatically incline, right? Our lives do not naturally incline. We have to set our minds to incline, right? We have to mindfully reset the incline because we naturally just go into chill mode, right? We naturally go into nachos mode at 10 o'clock as I was typing this message, right? And we often need a diverse group. In fact, you do need a diverse group because people are busy. Hello, America, right? So if all your weight is in one basket of your one accountability partner, your spiritual gym buddy, you're really not going to grow. Plus, honestly, diverse groups of people, they're good at things that we stink at, right? You know, sometimes we only gravitate towards people just like us, that think just like us. And you know what really challenges you? When you're around different kinds of people that have different strengths, right? Different weaknesses. So what am I saying here? I really want to preach righteousness at the end. The Lord's like, make sure you get to preach righteousness. So we're going to blow through a lot of notes and we're going to get there, okay? Because you need a gym buddy. You need a diverse group of people that are in the Word, know the Word, and will declare over your life, no matter what you feel, no matter what you think, no matter what the world has thrown at you, tossed at you, pushed you down. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new, right? So here's my key scripture, and we're going to preach. We're going to stand up at the end. We normally stand up at the end and make sure people aren't sleeping through the altar call, but we're going to preach ourselves happy. That's what it said in Acts. What? Like, you know, Paul's like, I preach myself into joy, the word of God, okay? So Psalms 119, 112 through 113, we're going to spend some time on this and we are going to dig into the riches of Romans, okay? David says this. David says, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever. To the very end, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. So I want to break this down because this is the Old Testament. And what do we need to do? We need to read the Old Testament from the New Testament perspective of the cross, of everything that was prophesied and foreshadowed that we receive by faith in Jesus. So how many people know this? In the Old Testament, you had to work. You had to work to feel it, right? To feel right with God, to feel good enough. Well, guess what? Jesus died on the cross not only for our sins, but so we could be right with him by faith in Jesus. Abraham believed God and he was right, not because of his feelings, but because of his faith. I'm preaching Romans. The Lord keeps saying, he said, don't get stuck in the weeds at the beginning. We're going to preach righteousness. So it doesn't matter how you feel. But when we read these Old Testament scriptures, we need to read it through the filter of the cross, the New Testament perspective of what he bought for us. So my key here is I have what? Inclined my heart. All right? So this is my point. Recline is easier than incline. This is my father's just famous beach chair. He was so excited when he found these. He researched them. This is before. Mom, when did we get this? Is Mom downstairs? 30 years ago was the World Wide Web available. I don't even know. Like barely. Hardly. Remember that sound of dial-up? Dial-up sound? Yeah. Like, so I don't know. He worked really hard to research the best reclining beach chair. Okay? Because he was 6'4". The man was all legs. All right? And he was so excited. Remember? And it would fold down to this tiny little thing that you could check on an airplane because the man could never find a beach chair that was sturdy enough because he was a big guy. And long enough for him. So this is his pride and joy, and he's in heaven to this day. So I'm pretty cheap, to be honest with you, because I'd rather not buy a beach chair because I don't go on vacations very often, okay? So I would always call Mom. It's like, can I borrow Dad's chair? And I remembered the day that I brought this on a vacation, and I'm not mechanically minded. Brad and my mom are. So I don't even know how long it took me to actually fold the thing out, you know? And you start it in an upright position because when I go to the beach, I normally, I want to read. I love to read. It's my happy place. You know, I used to read pirate novels at the beach, and now I'm like, I got to, like, read because I got to preach, you know, the next Sunday because we're never on a real vacation, right? We don't vacation from God. We vacation with him, right? So I set the whole thing up. And I started reading, and what you start getting tired, and you're like, you know what, I'm at the beach. What do I want to do? I just want to, like, take a nap and chill, right? So I set my books down, and then it was so funny. I was trying to get the right recline, you know, and I'm not going to mess with this because I won't get it back. Mom, thank you, Mom, for setting this up. And I would like get the perfect incline. And I was like, okay, so you're kind of chilling. And what? And after a while, you're like, I just want to take a nap. And I go to a full recline, right? And the problem was, is after my nap, I was like, oh, you know, I want to get back in the Word. I want to get back to studying. And I went to go pull it up and I went, and I couldn't get it back up. And honestly, I'm trying to mess with it. You know, how many of you kind of mess with it? And then I get in a funky position. I'm like this. I gave up. So the danger of this is we don't naturally incline. We naturally want to, in our human nature, our flesh, our mind, our will, our emotions want to naturally recline that leads to decline. Okay, that's what you're going to say this. Okay, we don't naturally incline. Incline is a choice. Beep, 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 beep. But my flesh, my emotions, when I'm just exhausted, when I had a really rough week at work. Raise your hand if you had a really rough week at work. Raise your hand if someone cut you off on the way here. Raise your hand if you cut someone else on the way here, okay? Listen, most people fight on the way to church if you're like, I feel terrible. I should just go back home. You're welcome to the place where most people fight on the way to church, right? Because Satan wants to desperately get in your head and say, you're not right with God because of how you acted on the way to church, how you acted on the way to Bible study. And we just turn back around and go, I'm going to go home, eat nachos, and have Tillamook ice cream. Boop, 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 boop. We go to recline, which when you stay in recline too long, we can get stuck and decline. And the thing about getting stuck is we forget who we really are in Christ Jesus. We become flesh ruled. We get into a sense of guilt and inferiority and meh. And we need those gym buddies to go beep, 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 beep. This is not who you are. You are not your feelings. You are not what the world says about you. You are not what your coworker and your boss said about you or what your father said about you. You are never good enough. This is why people leave you, abandon you, blah, blah, blah. Who am I? I'm a child of God, and that's all I ever got to be. And I can rest in an upright position where my heart is connected with him. All right. I'm going to tell you, I'm being obedient to the Lord. I'm going to preach righteousness all through these notes here. All right. Three spiritual truths that you can use. These are not, I don't believe in formulas. Formulas will set you up to fail. The Bible is not a formula. Preachers should not give you a formula. The answer is found in the tension of God's word in your relationship. Does that make sense? But I'm gonna give you some truth in the word of God, right? To challenge you to fall in love with his scripture and fall in love with who he says you really, really are. But here's some points, because people like points. They tell you, like, if you want people to remember your sermon, you get, like, a visual and some points. You ready for some points to write down? I'm going to give them to you, and we're going to preach righteousness, because I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. I have some beautiful, like analogies. If we get to them, hey, all right? Number one, recognize, and I'm going to say this, I, myself. I'm not preaching at you. I had to remind myself, because I wasn't feeling it recently. I was feeling the stress. I was feeling abandonment. I was feeling not good enough. Anyone else besides me? Yeah. Number one, I recognize when, it says our, but I'll say this, my heart is in recline. I recognize when my heart is in recline. So David said this. David says this, I have inclined my heart. He didn't say, God, you have inclined my heart for me. He took responsibility. Our hearts are our responsibility. Let's be real. People are jerks and Christians are top of the list. Sometimes Christians are worse jerks than the people in the world. Because I just be real. I cannot stop people from hurting me. I can't stop people from talking bad about me. I cannot stop people from criticizing me or judging me. I cannot control how people treat me to an extent. But I can tap into the fruit of the Spirit by faith through grace, God's divine empowerment to be and do who you really are called to be and do. Live a life free from sin. I can tap into the fruits of the Spirit by the grace of God and this thing called self-control. Can't control other people. You know what religion likes to do? Control other people. I can do that, but I can take responsibility for the condition of my heart. Let's be real. It is hard to navigate a heart incline, to choose to incline my heart, to connect with the Word of God, to get deep into the Word of God. Because what does David say? I love your Word. I love your, other translations say, your instructions. It doesn't come naturally. When life comes at you and boom, hits you in the face, sideswiped. Come on, you don't expect people to hurt you. You don't expect people to attack you, to criticize you, to judge you. Christians, the top of the list. And sadly, we let Christians, how they treat us, represent our view of Jesus Christ himself. And sadly, that's an excuse. Because if you read your Bible, it tells you who he really is, right? My heart, write this down. My heart is my responsibility. But let's be real. We often hand people the keys to our heart. And they just take a ride with it. And then they run it and drive it right into the wall, because the Bible says, do not put your trust in people. Put your trust in the Lord. That means I got to keep my eyes on him. I got to keep him the keys to my heart, the keys to my heart. The drive of my heart is not to make everyone else happy around me. And the drive of my heart is not make Brad make me happy. You want to implode your marriage really fast? Put all the pressure on your spouse to make you happy, fulfilled, satisfied, and give you purpose in life. I've just saved you $1,000 in therapy. Everybody say amen. My heart is my responsibility. Do you know how many people leave really healthy friendships, relationships, marriages because they don't feel fulfilled and satisfied? Happiness, or ready for this, joy is an inside job. You can bounce to every other church in town. You can bounce from relationship to relationship, therapy group to therapy group, and what? Taking ownership, not a victim. My heart is my responsibility, right? David said, I have inclined my heart. David knew better. And if you read the story of David, people are terrible to him. And he also did some terrible things, but I'm telling you, it was really rough. Everyone was coming against him. His own friends were abandoning him. His wife kind of turned on him, and the spiritual mentor in his life, Saul, was throwing spears and just slandered his name. But he said this, I have inclined my heart. My heart is my responsibility, right? And he inclined it towards the Word of God, the promises, the truth of the Word of God, that was going to be greater and higher than the circumstances in his life, greater and higher than the feelings in his life. And what do? We read this through the New Testament perspective of the cross. I have inclined my heart to what God says about me. I'm his child. I'm his daughter. I'm his son. And I don't have to be anything else. I am right with God because of my faith in him. Do you know what the definition of righteousness is? Our ability to stand right before the Lord without any sense of guilt, inferiority, and shame because of what God has done in our lives. By faith, right? By faith in what Jesus has done in our life. I have inclined my heart. Okay. Number two, redirect our heart when it drifts. So I say this. So number one, my heart, my responsibility. What is our point? I can't even remember them sometimes, but hey, you like points, ready? Number one, recognize. I recognize when my heart is in recline. How do you know? When you go for a checkup, the doctor says, what symptoms are you having? I am grumpy all the time. I am yelling at my kids. What? I'm in a bad mood. I'm doing finger gestures when people cut me off or even think, don't even think about it. Okay? I'm critical and judgmental. I'm critical, cynical, judgmental of every other church in town because my church is the best church. I pick apart every sermon and every message every pastor has ever done. Come on. Religion, what is up? For real, for real. Come on, I tell every person in my small group what they're doing wrong. Symptom. I'm telling you, we hide behind religion. Number two, what? I redirect my heart when it drifts. David said, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. This is not a one-time action. This is a daily decision. So I don't know about you, but when I moved away at 18 and that, you know, I was gone for 11 years. And it's really funny what you learn about your car and what you don't learn about your car. But, you know, one thing I did learn, because I had some bumpy symptoms in my life, was you need to align your vehicle. You need to take it to a professional to get your vehicle aligned. Otherwise, if things are off, if things are bumpy, I found out, like, my college had these giant speed bumps. I don't know why your college would need giant speed bumps. I had a Jeep. I didn't slow down. Boom, boom. It was just fun. Boom, boom. I had an off-roading package that would protect my vehicle from the giant speed bumps until, so something felt kind of a little off. I finally took it to a professional and they said, your sway bars are broken. It is a miracle. You did not, your whole car fall apart. Grace of God, my praying mother, right? Okay. But how many people know when things get bumpy, you have to get the alignment taken care of, right? But oftentimes we think, like our cars, we just do it one time, it's good. Until we get terrible symptoms, like our marriage is falling apart, right? But David says, I incline my heart. How often do you need to incline your heart to what God says about you? All the day long. All the day long. Do you know why? Because I have to work through offense all the day long. How many people work in a hole, not around people? Then you are going to have to work through hurts and offense all the day long. I do. You have to make a choice. All right. We're going to talk about the drift in a minute here. Like a treadmill. When I am not feeling it, when I am grumpy, when I'm irritated, when I am just choosing to look at other people instead of the cross, I have to get someone around me or myself choose to beep, 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 incline my heart to what the Lord says about me. Right? Because naturally what happens in time, it's very interesting treadmills when you have it inclined for a long time. What they eventually just go boop, 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 boop. Do you ever notice that? You have it inclined for a while and then it starts to naturally go down. Interesting. Number three, resist. I resist. We're going to use I statements. I resist the double-minded life. Every person in here deals with double-mindedness. Every single person. We have yet to arrive. Paul dealt with it. We're going to read, we're going to love it. Love it. Romans chapter 7 and 8. Man, if you're dealing with this, just chew on it every day. I resist the double-minded life. And number four, I'm going to jump ahead to be obedient to the Lord. We're going to preach righteousness. I realize that my real position through faith in Jesus is righteousness. Righteousness is our ability to stand before the Lord God without any sense of guilt, condemnation, or shame because of my faith in him. You're like, Sherry, that sounds too good to be true. That sounds like cult-like because, like, that's not reality. Did you read your Bible? That's the gospel. The gospel means the almost too good to be true news. And it's really, really simple. And we have to beep, 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 incline our life outside of our feelings. And it's going to take effort. Is it easy? Is it comfortable? Is it comfortable to address areas of victimization in our lives? I love being a victim. Are you kidding me? I love it. We have support groups. It's great. And we can sit there and talk about all the people that have hurt us. And how about it? Listen, it is very important to do therapy and counseling, and it's very important to do a support group. But find a Christian one that reads the Bible through the lens of who we are in Christ Jesus. That means I'm not an addict for the rest of my life, because who am I? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Those are the kind of support groups we need to be in. And by the way, it's grow group season. If we took a break to chill and recline over the summer, I'm kicking everyone in the shin to get in a group that builds you up and encourages you through the light of the word of God, your right position in Christ. All right. Psalms 119, verse 113. David follows up that statement of I need to what? Incline my heart. And he says this, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Another translation says, I love your instruction. Okay, so let's be real. We all struggle with being double-minded, thinking one thing one day and then thinking the other thing because of our feelings, because our feelings are like a giant roller coaster of emotions, right? Double-mindedness is exhausting. It's frustrating. It is like trying to run on the treadmill while scrolling. I can't even push a stroller straight while scrolling. I'm telling you, I try to text and drive my stroller. It's dangerous. I shouldn't be doing that. I hit ditches all the time, okay? It's exhausting. It's frustrating because we have a divided heart, a divided focus. Our society now is the most distracted society that has ever lived. We just do. They've done studies on it. We live in a constant state of distraction. A heart on incline doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen by default. It takes recognition. I need to recognize my heart is not healthy. Why? And listen, some people, we want to talk about all the other people's sins. They're so easy to find. How about these Christian ones? Judgment, criticism, cynicism, picking apart everyone else. We pick apart other ministries because they're not doing it the way we think it should be done. Well, I'll just tell you, go do something. At least they're doing something. We'll probably mess it along the way because we're human. Our heart on incline doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen. It takes effort. It hurts our flesh sometimes because we're going to have to deal with those areas of like things we don't want to talk about with the Lord, but it is worth it. It takes recognition, redirection, and resistance. A heart towards incline towards God. You know, it's so great when you re-incline your heart towards the Lord and what he says about you, not what you feel, not what other people say about you. I'm right with God by faith in Jesus. Have you left Jesus? You're right with him. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. We receive the grace of God by faith, Ephesians chapter 2. Do you know what grace is? It comes from the Greek word charis. Charis. Oh, this is bananas. It is God's divine influence, his character and nature freely received in our heart. Everybody put your hand on your heart, heart check, and then reflected in your life. That means every time you see the word grace, it is his divine character and nature freely received in our heart, reflected in our life. That means I don't have to be anything. I don't have to strive. I just need to remind myself who I really am in Christ Jesus and by faith tap into the supernatural power of God to live a life free from sin, to live a life more like Jesus. That is not a natural beep, 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 because I don't feel it. We have to choose to remind. This is why it is so important to get out of the excuses of why I don't like reading. Right, Mom? Come on. I don't like reading. I have a reading disability. That's okay. Listen, I'm telling you, my mother was supernaturally healed of dyslexia, reading her Bible. I had another youth leader, nameless, that was dealing with a pretty intense learning disability and educationally just was really struggling in life. And they came up to me and they goes, Pastor Sherry, I've been like trying to read my Bible and it's like fixing something in my brain. It started healing his mind. And listen, and it's okay. Listen, I do a lot of audio Bible because I got baby. That's okay. But just trying to the Bible says, do not let the word depart from before your eyes, because there's something about just slowing down. I sometimes stare at the same word over and over and over again because the Lord's speaking to me through that word. And if the one word you walk out of here, the Lord says, preach what? Righteousness. I love audio Bible. I listen to it a lot while I'm driving, while I'm getting ready, but I'm saying it shouldn't quite replace. Sometimes you just got to look at it, stare at it. And you're like, but I'm distracted. Yeah, let me tell you how distracted I am in life. You know, the litmus test for where our heart posture is, the litmus test, you're not going to like it. The litmus test for our heart posture, where we are on the incline or the decline or the recline, is where we're at in worship. It is not our time to talk to everybody and their brother in the lobby and then talk to everybody on the way up. Listen, we all get it. I get into it too. I am super distracted because I actually am a pastor that loves people. I just genuinely do. Once you stop, you should quit. Do something else with your life. I genuinely love people. I get distracted, right? But our posture, our heart posture during worship, besides me, raise your hand if you get naturally very distracted. Then close your eyes. And then I don't know the words. Great. You know the best way to incline your heart, beep, 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 is say your own words. Watch my lips go. Half the time I'm praying in the spirit, singing in the spirit, and half the time I'm like, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I love you. I'll tell you, the best way to incline your heart, thank you for saving me. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for putting great friends in my life. Thank you for putting people in my life that speak life over me and prophesy life over me and bring me an encouragement. Thank you for your word that says, although I feel terrible and I have done 1,000 things wrong in the last 24 hours and I feel terrible on the inside, thank you that your word says I'm right with you by faith. Whew. And I'm gonna beep, 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 incline my heart. I am not what I feel. I am not what other people say about me. I'm right with you, Jesus. And I receive your grace by faith to transform me into your image. I lay myself on the altar. It is a mindful choice. How many people are excited about surgery? Most people won't even go to a doctor and they are on team Jesus. And I'm going to, when you have symptoms in your body, pray, get in faith and go to the doctor. They are on team Jesus. We all want the same thing. Hello. Okay. But do you know how people don't go because they're afraid to deal what's really, they're afraid of what they might find out. Well, you know, the great things about doctors, and the Bible says that Jesus is the great physician. They all want the same thing, you to be healthy and free from things that make you sick and try to kill you early, right? But we're afraid to go because they might say, hey, you have a tumor called offense in your life and it's eating you alive. And that bitterness is destroying your relationships around you. The word of God will shine a light on things. And you know what? Don't fear what the light reveals. Because whatever the light reveals, the light of his word, the light of his presence, it heals. People are not excited to go to a Bible study. Why? Because we might talk about our lives. Good, fine, amen. Liar, come on. I'm watching my words. You're lying. Please tell people that I'm not good. Heart check, I'm not good. I'm irritable, I'm grumpy, I'm cynical. Okay, why? And get your friends to room. Okay, who are you really, right? Okay, and then what? The word of God. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword or scalpel. They didn't have scalpels back then. It divides joint and marrow and it exposes motives of the heart. And the word of God isn't condemning. It's beep, 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 uplifting. It's how you read it. Get around people that are not religious that take the word of God out of context for their agenda because they want to feel better about themselves. So they're going to preach down at you. What are we using today? Pastor Sherry is using I statements because I'm reading a book that's kicking my shins about my heart condition. Because people can really bring you down. But we're commanded to do life with people because, oh, by the way, y'all, the Great Commission is what? What was Jesus' like parting words? Get filled with the Holy Spirit so you can go out into all the world and make disciples. All right, everybody, I've been telling I'm coming after people, but every person should be doing life with at least two people that you are discipling, that you are multiplying. And I'll tell you what Paul said this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He made a lot of mistakes along the way. He's actually really wrestled with criticism and cynicism. You know, he was a real guy, right? He wrote a ton of the New Testament. He got a revelation of righteousness. Philippians chapter 3. All the bad stuff I've ever did, all the good stuff I ever did is a load of trash, dung. My determined purpose is to be found in him, in his word, who he says I am. Transformed how I see myself, how I interact with people. And then he goes, and even I haven't arrived yet. Stay humble. Where am I at? Thank you, Lord. We're going to preach righteousness. Here we go. What are we doing? Okay. What is it? We don't naturally incline. It is a choice to get into the word of God, to read it by faith. We're all busy. We're just going to have to reprioritize. I'm telling you, I'm coming after people saying it is time to make space to number one. I am trying to get more word time in to just stare at one page over and over again until I let that thing, that one word, righteousness, peace, saturate in my life, right? It's not just about reading the Bible in a year, because we'll speed read. We got to read it by faith. People are like, well, you know, people that have the whole Bible memorized, but they're not reading it by faith for themselves. They read it for everyone else, which is called religion sometimes. Right, self-righteous. Thank you. Self-righteousness. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. We have to daily reposture our hearts in the word of God. And let me tell you this. Looking back at my life, when my heart was right, when I'm really prioritizing remembering who God says I really am and receiving the grace of God by faith to walk that out, I make some really good decisions because I'm really letting God make those decisions because I'm making those decisions by the light of the word. And those are normally painful because God does not want you comfortable. He wants you growing. Because what? Beep, 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 beep. Incline takes effort, right? My worst decisions I've ever made, where I've hurt myself and everyone around me, and I'm still picking up the pieces today, was when my heart was in recline. It is important, Psalms 139, 23 through 24. Search my heart, O God. Know my heart, test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything, ooh, that offends you, the offense in our life. Lead me along the paths of everlasting life. Berean Standard Version, I love that version. See if there is any offensive way in me. Sometimes we're so focused on how other people have offended me, and I forget how offensive that I am. Self-righteousness, right? I'm right in him, okay? Look deep into my heart, God, and find out everything that I'm thinking. What is this saying? David's saying, Lord God, show me where my heart is in recline. And have a very honest conversation with him. Get out your ugly. It sounds bad. Well, get out your ugly. David sure did. He sounded pretty bad in the Psalms. But he had a heart after God because it was honest, right? Let him clean the religious corners of our life. Lay out all your fears, your insecurities, your need for control. Lay it out there. Incline is a pre-decision. It is the choice that we make before the choice. So if I am daily choosing to beep, 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 incline my heart, what do you say about me, Lord? During worship, Lord, I thank you. I am super distracted right now. My kid is really distracting right now. I don't know. All right, who do you say I am? Who are you? Who are you? You are the God of the universe. And you love me. Thank you. Thank you. Just choosing. I'm telling you, you want to grow in your worship life? The screen is awesome. They work really hard to find songs that align with scripture, right? But start just taking your brain out and making a mindful decision. And this is why you really need to be in the Word of God, because you need to remind yourself what the Word of God says about you and what it says about him. Incline like a treadmill, it hurts, but no pain, no gain. Ephesians 4:26, don't you love skimming over this one? Says, when you're angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, your indignation last until the sun goes down. That means I need to clean out my heart of offense, offense to the world. Remember the pandemic? You remember how that changed everybody into their worst self? There are Christians that don't even talk to each other this day, to this day. I'm telling you, it's super divisive. I'm going to talk about the vacay drift. Thank you, Lord. Help me stay focused. I love summer because the Bible does command us to rest. And it's a time in your calendar that we as a culture say you need to rest. The Bible commands you to rest. And if you can't afford a vacation, that's okay. Take a walk, go to the park, eat some fried chicken, go on a picnic with your friend, whatever it is. Slow down. It's good. Stress is bad for you, right? But don't get into a recline in your relationship with God, all right? Do you know the number one selling chair in America? What is the number one selling chair in America? Lazy Boy. You know what's so fun is you go to someone's house that has more than one, because you normally fight for the one Lazy Boy chair. I do, because I have like these kids, you know? And I remember getting invited to someone's house where they had a home entertainment system that looked like a theater, and it was full of reclining chairs. I don't know what they did, but God bless them, and I got to watch a UFC fight in a reclining chair and eat pizza that I didn't pay for. I was having a ball. Do not judge me. I like a good UFC fight, okay? We like to recline, right? But the danger of the vacation drift, I'm telling you, what do we do on vacation? It's to set aside the stress and the distractions, not to be busy the whole time with our grinding vacation schedule. If you're the grinding vacation schedule person, I am not going on vacation with you. You might need to grind some things away to create some space to just hang out with him, right? All right, the vacation mindset that just kicks back. We stop swimming against the world's currents. We stop choosing daily to fight the fight of faith and to beep, 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 incline our heart. But we start floating and we start coasting. And the danger is this. I remember this. My mom is a certified lifeguard, and I got an advanced water rescue diver certification. So I didn't have to do gym class at college. It was great. So I learned a couple things or two about currents. There's so much I could say about this. But even the best of us, if we lose sight of our team, my pastor's best friend, wonderful man of God, was scuba diving, and he was looking at something really cool, like some fish or some barrier reef. I don't know. He was down in Australia, and a current caught him and shot him miles away from the group. It was terrifying. And thank God the man knew who to call on the name of Jesus, and he was lost at sea for 24 hours, and by a miracle, miracle, he was rescued. He came back a changed man. These are the stories you tell your kids, right? You remember the story. But I remember my mom telling us, hey, between this beach chair and this beach chair is as far as you're allowed to go on the ocean, right? You need to keep your eyes on the shoreline and where your people are. Okay, we need to keep our eyes on the cross of who we are in Christ Jesus daily, renewing our mind to the word daily. Like, God, is there anything unpleasing in me? Search my heart, oh God, right? Because it's really easy when you kick back and chill and you start coasting, because we naturally go towards recline, to get swept up in the currents of this world. And it's a very dangerous place to be. And I don't know about you, but I remember one time kind of getting swept much farther than I anticipated out the beach. And I knew my mom was going to, you know, give me the mom finger, right? And she did teach us, you know, how to, you have to kind of swim up the shore at an angle, right? But it took work to get back into a safe and healthy position. Now, I don't want to say this is a works mindset. I'm just saying we have to choose to incline our hearts every opportunity, because you don't always have a band. And the handsome Brad Green, you know, he distracts me. I can't even look at him in a black t-shirt. I'm like, Jesus, I'm looking over here. Joke. The drift can be really dangerous. Let's talk about David. So David wrote this, and he understood the drift. And I want to end in Romans at least chapter 5 and 8, so I'm going to do this really short. Go back and read the story of David. This is in 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. The danger of the vacay drift. I'll be honest with you. My job is the easiest January and February, because people are the least distracted. My job is the hardest during the summer. The worst choices I ever made as a person, young, old, doesn't matter, were during the summer, because we chill, right? David said this, in the spring, it was warm outside, and it was time when the kings marched out to war. We have to choose to fight the fight of faith every day. We will have to choose discipleship, because it is painful and uncomfortable, and Jesus commanded you to do it. We will have to put effort to be being continually and constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the word, and around people that build us up and encourage us and tell us who we really are in Christ Jesus, because it doesn't come naturally. What comes naturally? Boop, 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 recline. Because this is what happened to David. He said everyone else went to war, and he stayed home to chill. And his eyes drifted to the neighbor's wife. You can go back and read the story. It's a real page turner, and it ends in a lot of heartbreak. But he ended up having an adulterous affair. He ended up drifting, drifting, drifting. How many ministers drift? Because they think their identity is in their title and in their position. And by the way, will you stop looking up every other minister's scandal? Please stop. The Bible's full of them. If I need a reminder, I will read the Bible. I don't need to go get on that algorithm where they shoot me every scandal and every fallen minister. It's heartbreaking. But you want to make sure you're not that person? Get in a diverse group of people that kick you in the shins, right? And how do you for this? Call sin, sin. Judgment and criticism and gossip is sin. I feel very yucky on the inside, but don't say the Bible says to judge. Judge yourself. Call sin, sin. Deal with your own junk, right? If your eye causes you to stumble, delete your algorithm by deleting all your social media. It might be the best thing that ever happened to you. All right? He reclined. David kicked back and chilled. Be with people that are uncomfortable. Be with people you are discipling. Whew. David called sin, sin, and he said this, I hate the double-minded. It's not hating people. We love people, but we hate the effects of sin in our lives. Look at yourself, right? David's saying, I hate the divided heart. I hate my half-hearted posture. What it, ready for this, produces in me. What did him kicking back and chill and drifting do? It caused him to do something he never would have thought he'd ever do in 1,000 years. And I don't think he put enough people in his team that could kind of get him back on track, right? So David's saying this, I hate the double-minded. I hate this posture in my heart. I hate where it takes me. I hate the sin. And I'll just tell you this, just call sin and hate sin and then go into a position of righteousness. Ready for this? Because if we're so sin conscious, do you think you're going to beat yourself up and guilt and shame yourself up into change? It doesn't work. How many people have been in a religious circle where all they do is told you everything you're doing wrong and you need to fix yourself and you need to change the fruit of your life? You cannot change the fruit of your life. You can get the root system healthy again. Come on, you see a farmer when a tree is kind of funky and producing bad fruit. There's a cool parable. After we get our hearts right, I want to do a series on the kingdom of God and the hard parables. But I will not feed your intellectual itch. We got to get our hearts right. Otherwise, we'll read it through the lens of everyone else and we'll get religious. We're going to get our hearts right and we're going to go into some deep truth. And I'm so excited about preaching the kingdom of God and doing the hard stuff, right? All right, we're going to preach it. Here we go. Romans 7, verse 15. David is saying this. He says, I hate the sin in my life. I hate being double-minded. I hate the tug of war that I'm always just trying to fix me. I'm trying to stop sinning. I'm trying to stop clicking. I'm trying to stop gossiping. I'm trying to stop being grumpy. I'm trying to stop the venting cycles in my life. Do you know who my greatest accountability is? The people around me. My mom, Brad. Gosh, Rachel looked at me. She's super sweet. She'd be like, how are you? She's super not judgy about it. She just like, oh, she's doing a heart check when I'm venting. Come on, Rach, right? You're one of my people. She's super sweet. She's not judgmental about it. She's going, how are you? I had a moment 2 weeks ago. And I'm just venting. I'm stressed out. I'm frustrated. How are you? I just taught it. Thanks, Rach. A loving heart check, right? Okay. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. We got to preach Romans. Here we go. I'm going to be obedient. Paul and David wrestled this. David in the Old Testament was a man after God's own heart. He chose relationship. He fought. He was quick to repent, right? Paul, I love Paul. He had a lot of flaws. He got really sarcastic sometimes. It's great. He grew. Romans 5:15, Paul wrote, I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled and bewildered by them. I don't practice what I want to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. How many people fall into doing the same thing you hate? I hate the sin in my life. Call it what it is. Okay? We're in a system that calls evil good and good evil. Call it sin, y'all. It's what is it? You can't skip the hard stuff. Oh, I love how Christians like talking about all the sexual sins. And I'm like, do you remember gossip, slander, and division right next to all the sexual sins in the Bible? Deal with your own junk. Here we go. I hate the thing that I'm becoming. The Amplified says, yielding to the human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity, I don't really understand myself for what I want to do, what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Paul's wrestling in the New Testament. How many people wrestle besides myself? Okay. But guess what? He then preaches the gospel. This is great. And you got to preach yourself into a right, you got to preach yourself into the truth of who I am in Christ Jesus. All right? Romans 7, 22 through 24. I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. He called it what? He didn't call it his weakness. He didn't call it his issues. Although it does say in Proverbs chapter, 4:23? Guard your heart. Heart check. Above all else. Because out of it flow the issues of life. How many people know we all have issues? So that means we're going to be daily heart checking. Beep, 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 beep. Incline. And get in a diverse group of mature believers that are going to help you, beep, 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 incline. All right? Now, this is Paul being real. Oh, what a miserable person I am. How many people are just miserable when I go through grumped out, venting, irritation cycles where I am the victim and I talk about all the people that hurt me? I'm cycling. Be honest one time. Now, lay it at the cross and you're going to have to let the light heal it, right? He says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? He's setting us up. We found ourselves. Can everybody just find yourself right there? If you're beating yourself up, okay, Paul was beating himself up and then he gets his eyes on the cross. He goes, I am miserable. He's a Christian. There are plenty of miserable Christians out there. I was one, and sometimes I cycle in it. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Oh, thank God. Woo! Thank God there's that. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. The answer is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then he preaches the gospel through the cross. It's so powerful. Preach yourself into joy. Preach yourself into peace. He preaches the answer of the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to talk about incline and decline in scripture, okay? And we're going to land the plane. Come back next week. This is what happens when we choose to incline in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1 through 2 and 5 through 6. Therefore, there is no condemnation, beating yourself up, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as their personal Lord and Savior, amplified. Raise your hand if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins and he rose again. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm born again. I've been given a new life. I am right with him. Here we go. For the law of the Spirit, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has set me free from my feelings, from the law of sin and death. Verse 5, and those who are living according to the flesh set their minds, beep, 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 beep. That is a choice. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable. Someone else preach the scripture. I'm reading Philippians. Set your mind on him. Beep, beep, beep. I have to choose to make him bigger than all the other junk around me. Okay. It's not living in denial. It's living through the cross. All right. Set their minds on the things. Okay. Ready for this? Those who are living according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. That's a reclined heart. I am setting my mind on my emotions, on the people that have hurt me, on the gossip about me, on the bill that just came in the mail, on the doctor's report. I am so setting my mind on the negative. And now I'm going to what? Beep, 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 choose to incline. He says this, but those that are living according to the Spirit, ready? Set their minds. Set, reset, reset, reset. When I'm in forgiveness, I'm in a constant state of forgiveness. Pastor Sherry, I can't believe you said that. People are jerks. Can you raise your hand if you believe you need to be in a constant state of forgiveness? Okay, good. That means you're discipling people because you're doing life with people and they're going to step on their toes and sheep will bite you. Okay, so what does it say here? Ready? Okay, I'm going to land the plane. Here we go. Set their minds on the things of the Spirit, his will, his purpose. Beep, beep, beep. Inclined heart. Now, the mind of the Spirit is death. Recline, beep, 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 beep. But now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace that comes from walking with God, both now and forever, Amplified Bible says us. Paul is reminding us we will daily, let's stand up, incline our hearts. Ephesians 2, 6 through 8, and we're going to pray. He raised us up together with him. Beep, 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 beep. I am with him. I am what the Bible says in Ephesians 2. Here we go. I'm joint seated with him. He raised us up together with him. When we believe, do you believe in Jesus Christ? That's the Son of God. He died on the cross for our sins. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I am right with him by faith. Not because I'm good at being good and fixing my own life, because I read more self-help books than I read the Word of God. What? I am seated with him in heavenly places because we are in where? Where are we? With Christ Jesus. And he did this so in the ages to come, he might clearly show the immeasurable and surpassing riches of his grace in the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, providing redemption. We got bought back. All of our sin debt got erased. We got bought back, paid it all off. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not of your own effort. The only effort that you need to make is to beep, 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 realign your heart of what he already did for you. Now close your eyes. This is the key, and we'll preach it more later. Just repeat a simple prayer. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for saving me. I realign my heart with your heart. Make me more like you. I incline my heart to your word which is the ultimate truth. And thank you for your grace, your divine empowerment to make me more like you. Search my heart, O God. If there is anything that hurts your heart, Jesus, any offense in me, and I just surrender it to you. I put it at the foot of the cross. It doesn't define me. I'm your son, I'm your daughter, and I'm right with you. Amen. You are loved.